with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives. From the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Barbara Sullivan. Today we continue our theme of accessibility. When people think of accessibility and the arts, they tend to associate the term with technology and physical aids which help those with disabilities access and enjoy a performance as an audience member. However, Accessible Arts, the peak arts and disability organisation in New South Wales, has a much more encompassing approach. It provides opportunities for people with disability to participate in arts and cultural activities, not only as audience members or through attending galleries, theatres, museums and festivals, but also by taking an active role in art, drama, music, dance and multimedia activities. In addition, Accessible Arts helps such people develop as professional artists, if that is their goal. To find out more about the vision, activities and services of Accessible Arts, I spoke with Sancha Donald, CEO of the organisation. Hello Sancha, thank you very much for joining us today. What do you personally see as the main goal of the organisation?
Well, as you know, I'm the CEO of Accessible Arts and we're a state-based peak body of arts and disability, and we work to promote participation, access, leadership, full inclusion in the arts for people with disabilities, and we do that across New South Wales. So that's our aim, and really a society in which people with disabilities can fully experience arts and a cultural life. And we do that, though, through advocacy, education and information.
So tell us specifically about the services that Accessible Arts offers.
Well, yeah, sure. So the services that we offer disability awareness training, arts development, we offer audience development assistance, and we work in the area of policy. We have an office in the North Coast. We've just put on a deaf arts officer. So some of those are positions and some of those that I've just mentioned sort of are areas that we work in. So that's the kind of work that we do.
Well, it seems that your wonderful organisation has the ability to transform the arts experience for people with disabilities who wish to take an active role. I'd like to hear about your initiatives in the different artistic endeavours, for example, in music and dance, in visual arts and theatre. Let's take music first. What sort of initiatives do you undertake?
Well, that's the thing. As a peak body, our focus is to develop the capacity of both the arts sector and the disability sector. So many people think that perhaps we're a large institution and we have a number of people coming to our cultural venue daily and weekly.
Right.
To participate in activities, and we actually don't. We work through partnerships with the arts community and sector and with the disability sector. We often facilitate and broker relationships, and we try in a range of ways to develop the capacity of arts workers, of artists, through policy and through our own initiatives, so that those two sectors are providing opportunities for people with disabilities to engage in the arts. So what does that really mean? Well, before I get to music, just to remain broad for a moment, we, for instance, worked with festivals, individual festivals, and as a group. And we tried to, over a period of about 5 years, really help them to understand what it means by audience development and access. Sometimes we assisted them in running specific tours, such as touch tours. We ran a forum for the deaf community to see what they required around pathways and engaging with the mainstream arts sector and community and cultural activities, and what they really required within the deaf community as well. We held a residency every 2 years at Bundanon for a professional artist who had a disability who required that intensive time in one location to develop their arts practice. And just this year, we ran a youth arts access program, which assisted 13 to 18-year-olds and their families attend cultural activities that had additional access. So they're just a couple, three or four examples of how we work. We don't run a dance class every week for people or children with disabilities to attend. We work with the dance community to ensure that they are enabling people and children who have a disability to attend those classes. And how we do that is we do that in a range of ways. Mm. So I can give you a couple of examples of music, but I think it's firstly important to explain how accessible arts works.
You mentioned some examples.
Oh, sure. So an example, let's say, in music, well, we held what we called the Accessible Music Pathways Forum, and we held that in the Opera House, and we got some leading people in the music sector to come and talk to us, and there was 30 people from the music sector there talking about how they, in their particular conservatoriums and music establishments, could enable people with disabilities of a variety of ages be more active in music or be an audience member. So what came out of that forum was that there was a residency, integrated residency, which means that there are people with and without disabilities, and that was for 15 professional musicians, and they went off to the Orange Conservatorium for a week and made music together. And that was a rare opportunity for musicians with disabilities at a particular level to be able to play music for a week with
Wonderful.
Able-bodied musicians. So that's the kind of thing. And what we hope from that is that they all then go back, all those musicians who participated in that residency, and they recognise that people with disabilities can, one, be taught music, two, can love it, three, should have the opportunity to do so, and four, can really contribute as musicians to the music scene of, in this case, New South Wales. And so hopefully there's lots of little programs now that we may be completely unaware of that have sprung up as a result of that forum.
So do you tend to be a place for information about all the programs that are available as well?
Yes, absolutely. Our website is really our... Well, it is the portal, it is the hub of arts and disability in New South Wales. We hope that many organisations feed their information to us, which they do. We have a newsletter, free e-newsletter, that people are able to self-subscribe to. That comes out monthly, and that outlines our work and the work that's being carried out across the state. So there are many arts organisations or disability organisations that are actually running programs in dance or theatre or visual arts that we would have supported, or we're just promoting, or we might be running a program ourselves, such as we did run a dance program last year called Catalyst, and we would have a call out on our newsletter about that. Our website also highlights what is happening around the state and, in many cases, what is happening in this field internationally as well. And that's important, particularly for young children, to be able to see role models and be able to dream of being an artist themselves one day.
Yes. So you mentioned the newsletter. Apart from people presumably going on your website and signing up to the newsletter, how do you get it out there to the various constituencies?
Well, it's an e-newsletter, so people subscribe and we have a lot of subscribers who are organisations as well, and those organisations then on-send our newsletter. So we try to engage with individuals and the sector. And when I say the sector, I mean Cerebral Palsy Alliance, those kinds of organisations who have many members themselves.
Right.
Or it might be the Art Gallery of New South Wales, who and then they might put excerpts from our newsletter into their newsletter. So it's a variety of ways that our information gets out, is distributed across New South Wales. If people want to find out more about arts and disability, they go to our website, which is www.aarts.net.au.
Now, I understand that the Museum of Contemporary Arts has some special programs in the visual arts space. Would you like to tell us about that?
Well, again, that's the MCA's program. I'm assuming you're referring to the Bella program.
Yes.
That's been run for a long time. It's privately funded, partially anyway, and it's for children and parents to come to the MCA and to learn about the arts and to learn how they can engage then back into their communities. So that's that program. We don't partner with them on that program. Having said that, we have just put on a deaf arts officer, and we may look to support in a specific way that program in 2014 and ensure that there is perhaps a specific session for the children and parents of deaf children so that they too can take part in the Bella program.
And Sanjay, are your efforts concentrated mostly in the city You mentioned before something about the North Coast. Do you work extensively in the regional areas as well?
Look, we are the New South Wales Peak Arts and Disability Organisation, so our remit is the whole of New South Wales. There's only 12 of us, so it's difficult to cover all of New South Wales. We do have an office in the North Coast, and that is a three-year project. So that actually will come to an end at the end of 2014, unless there's a funder listening to the program that would like to support that program.
On that subject, how is Accessible Arts funded?
Yes, well, we're funded partly by government and partly by philanthropic ventures, really, and private donations. So that's how we're funded.
How do you reach out to organisations for funding?
We apply to trusts and foundations for specific projects. So for Catalyst, which was a dance program that we ran last year, we applied to a specific trust for that. We do, as most charities do, have some government funding, hope to get some specific project money, and also rely on donations.
Well, I certainly hope that there are some organisations listening to this who would be very interested in helping Accessible Arts continue their fantastic work. Sanjay, that was very interesting. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we look forward to following up on certain initiatives that are happening out there. For example, we're going to look at the tactile tours offered by Sculptures by the Sea when the exhibition happens in 2014.
Oh, look, it's a pleasure. And those tactile tours, for instance, we work quite closely with Sculpture by the Sea over the last few years, and they are pretty much self-sustaining now. But to run those tours, yeah, we worked with them to audio describe the sculptures and assist them in that way. So, I think a lot of the accessible programs that you'll follow up on, you'll find that Accessible Arts has been in the background at some point in the life of that program.
Well, continue the great work, Sanjay, and thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Sanjay Donald, CEO of the organisation called Accessible Arts. We'll return to Sanjay in a few months' time and look at what they've got coming up in 2014. You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology and initiatives. I'm Barbara Sullivan. Thank you for listening, and goodbye till next programme.